I'm Kurt Anderson in Studio 360, and it's time for today's cover story. One Sunday a few years ago, probably around the time I started writing a novel for the first time, I noticed something about the fiction bestseller list. At any given moment, a plurality of the books are about death, and specifically about murder. Sometimes it's a majority of the bestsellers. But then when you think about it, murder is topic A everywhere in our culture. Pick any night at random, like, say, last Tuesday on television. In prime time, you could have watched Arrest and Trial, Law and Order, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Unsolved Mysteries, Dark Angel, Dragnet, NYPD Blue, and Justice Files, which means you pretty much could create your own custom-made homicide channel. And in movie theaters right now, the big box office successes include Valentine, a slasher film, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which has plenty of violence and murder, Traffic, Snatch, Murder, Murder, and More Murder. So we wanted to look at other nooks and crannies in American culture where this subject's appeal informs the creation and collection of art and entertainment. My special guest today is the author Luke Sant, who has taken a singular and wonderful look at death and murder and crime in his book Evidence, which is a collection of crime scene photographs taken by the New York City Police Department from 1914 to 1918. Luke also writes about film, photography, books, popular music, and social history, and is a visiting professor at Bard College. Luke Sant, welcome to Studio 360.
Hi, thank you.
How did you discover all those old crime scene photos that you collected in your book, Evidence?
Well, I'd written a book about New York City in late 19th, early 20th centuries, and I was looking for pictures to illustrate it. And it was frustrating me because I was finding, well, mostly official photographs, you know, mostly a period predated news photographs. Newspapers didn't really have the technology to print photographs during most of that period. And what I was finding were groups of dignitaries arrayed on steps and things like that. And I happened into the municipal archives, and one of the archivists brought out these pictures, which are all that remain of the NYPD photo files from the old police department. And I was absolutely stunned by them, not immediately because they were murder, but because they showed a side of New York that wasn't documented in photographs much at the time. That is, it was intimate. It was people's rooms. The era when people lived in hall bedrooms, they lived in lodging houses and in tenements. And each of these murders, because they were almost all murders, were people lying on the floors of their rooms surrounded by all their worldly goods. And this told me as much as I could possibly want from a single source about the way people lived in New York City then.
Because they were photographs of domestic life, but at a level, as you say, of intimacy that really wasn't supposed to be recorded at that time.
Exactly. Yeah. Plus, it had something to do with the way they were, you know, the method employed of photography. That is, they weren't artists. They may never have used a camera before, but they went in with a set of instructions and a very, very wide-angle lens and a tripod. And one of the shots they took of every scene, they laid the tripod so that the figure, the corpse, was under the legs of the tripod and the camera pointing straight down. And with this very, very wide-angle lens in these tiny rooms, you got the whole compass of the room. Every single object was there, and it was just crystal clear. You know, they were like, the effect really was the way the Egyptian pharaohs were buried with all their possessions and their cats and their mistresses. It was sort of like that for these mostly anonymous slum dwellers at the beginning of the century.
What made you decide you wanted to spend as much time as you did to actually pull them together in a book?
Well, I pulled a few to illustrate my first book, and I couldn't stop thinking about these pictures. They haunted me. I mean, I would literally see them in eidetic imagery against the dark ceiling of my bedroom at night, because they were such astonishing photographs. And all these paradoxes just started jumping at me. First of all, I thought that until I found out that they were taken by fingerprint cops, I thought they were the work of a lost master. So there was a style there, it seemed to me. And also, I mean, at a much more fundamental level, they were beautiful. And I was struck by that. I'm not a necrophile. I'm not particularly attracted to violence, really. I mean, certainly I don't go out of my way to find gross-out pictures. And these, some of them approach the gross-out level. I didn't put those in the book, mostly, the ones that really grossed me out.
No, the ones you put in actually have a certain serenity, as people often say about corpses.
Yes. You know, the facial expressions were serene, but also something about the length of the exposure and the magnesium powder flash gave them a halo. And the ones who are down on the floor gazing up look like they're suspended in air, surrounded by this halo of light. And the paradox of these restful, rested, that's a bad word. I mean, there's a serenity about them. The serenity and beauty of pictures that depict the aftermath of violent death was something I had to investigate more.
I'm Kurt Anderson in Studio 360 with author and social historian Luke Sant. In a minute, we'll learn how a sculptor helps solve crimes. Stay with us in Studio 360, where art and real life collide, from PRI, Public Radio International.